from the ArmeniaProud.com studios.
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture. Only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Genatsit, genatsit, pailusin, shpesek. How are you, Chris?
I am good. How are you today, Jono?
Not bad, not bad. Hey, a couple days ago, Chris, I got to tell you, this is really good stuff. They had the channel, Traveler's Channel.
Yeah,
and they
the
had,
Travel Channel.
Have you ever watched that channel?
Oh, yeah, I like that channel
a lot. Well, they had this Booze Traveler. It's an episode every week, and I just turned it on, man, and it was about the guy going to Armenia.
Oh, wow.
The whole hour was dedicated to this guy drinking in Armenia.
Well, that's got to be an interesting
thing. Yeah, and it was funny because he kept saying Ogi.
Ogi.
Ogi. Okay, now Ogi is supposed to be Ogi. It's kind of like a moonshine vodka.
I gotcha.
By the way, can you say Ogi?
Ovi. Ovi.
Ogi?
Ogi.
You know what? You did a lot better than... One more time. Let me hear Ogi.
Ogi.
All right. It's good enough. Good enough. You know, I thought I was going to sit here and rip on you for the whole time, and you're pretty close
I'm
to
close
Ogi.
Enough.
Anyway, he went all over Armenia, and man, they were drinking. They were having such a good time, and I said, that's my country.
Yeah.
That's Armenia right there.
Pride.
A lot of pride, and people were really enjoying themselves. And speaking of enjoyment... We got a guest that's going to be really cool on the show. I cannot wait to introduce her. Araxi Karapetyan, anchorwoman in Los Angeles, Channel 11. And also, she's on Good Day LA. Araxi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And it's great to have you on our show.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I've never done a podcast before, so it's a first.
Well, this is our first. No. Araxi, we're in St. Louis, Missouri. I had to watch some of the shows on Good Day LA, and I'm telling you right now, it is so cool how you guys all get along on that show.
Yeah, you know, that's the number one question everyone always asks is that really the real deal? Are we really friends in real life? And we really are. We spend more time together than with our own families.
Wow.
So you can't fake it for too long. Their truth comes out. So I'm lucky we get along really well.
So you guys do really hang out and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Just now, it's really funny. I was, you know, before this phone call, I was running away from Steve Edwards. He's been in the LA market for over 20 years. He's the head of the show. He is the show, the legacy, the legend of Los Angeles. I was like, I have to go. I'm doing a podcast. He's like, wait. I thought we were going to go to lunch today. I said, no, I don't have time. I have plans. We'll do it tomorrow.
Wow.
But yeah, that's how it is.
Wow. So actually, we got the upper hand over the legend of L.A., Steve Edwards, who I'm very familiar with. I spent a lot of years in L.A., so I know who he is.
And that's Chris, by the way.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Now
good,
you,
thank you.
Now, you being on that show, this wasn't like someone bumping into you with a beautiful face and saying, hey, you want to be on the show in L.A.? I mean, you worked hard and you put in a lot of hours to get on the show, too.
Right. Well, I mean, you know how the industry is. You start in a small market. You work your way back. I, you know, went to school, did a bunch of internships, went to Idaho Falls, ended up in Portland, and then was lucky enough to get a job in Los Angeles with Fox 11. And originally I came just as a reporter. And then after just a few months of reporting out in the field, I started filling in for the morning anchor spot, which is like from 4:30 to 7. It was just straight news, very direct. I would wake up at 1:30 in the morning, crazy hours. And then after about a year of that, they put me on Good Day LA, which was something I had not expected at all. And I was thinking, is this a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea, you know, what I was in for. But it's been a great ride and a great opportunity because it takes more than just reading the teleprompter. With this show, it's about ad-libbing and, you know, knowing the stories that people are talking about, thinking on the spot, being able to interview guests. It's a different skill set, and I'm just so fortunate to be able to be a part of it.
Hey, Chris, you know, I was checking out like Good Day in LA and so forth. And she had a hypnosis. I mean, they had a hypnosis out there.
Wow. And she got hypnotized.
Yeah, she got hypnotized.
I've always wanted to do that.
She was afraid of birds. And you got to tell me, you got to tell our fans out there, was this for real, or did this really happen, or were you just going along with it? What was all that about?
Well, yeah, so we did this a few months ago, and I have a fear of birds, so our producers thought it'd be funny to have someone come in and try to make it so that fear would go away. I'm not sure if it worked, because I haven't encountered any birds lately.
That's a good thing.
I'm afraid of them yet or not, but basically, very skeptical about it. I always am skeptical about everything, though. Like, that's just my attitude. So, you know, I'm telling the guy right before we begin, like, listen, I don't believe in this stuff. Like, I mean, give it a shot. I don't think it's going to do anything. And he said, look, if you have that attitude, it's not going to work. I need you just to clear your mind. And all you have to do is just do everything I tell you. Like, when I give you instructions, just follow my instructions and clear your mind. That's all. But if you have the attitude of, it's not going to work, I'm not going to listen to you,
it's not
going to
work.
Yeah.
It won't work. So I went into the segment, you know, clearing my head, which is very hard for me to do. I'm like crazy person. And I just followed what he said. So when people are saying to me, whoa, like you looked passed out and you really did close and open your eyes when he told you to, that's because he told me open and close your eyes when I tell you. When I give you a command, do it. So that's not magic. I was just following his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
However, that being said, I did feel like I was in a relaxed state.
Yeah.
And I was really just in the moment, which is the hard thing for me to be. So it was a very abbreviated segment. Obviously, when this guy does it, he does it for an hour session. We did it in like 3 minutes. But when I, you know, fully woke up, or whatever you want to call it, I was very relaxed, and it was almost like a hungover feeling. You know, when you wake up and you're just kind of like in a cloudy state, that's what that was. And I wasn't faking it. I was just, you know, in a cloudy state. And I think I had, you know, told myself, okay, well, you're going to be rational. There's going to be a bird right next to you. It's not going to do anything to you. Just rationally go through the process. So it's more about how you approach the situation. I'm not saying it didn't work. I'm just saying it's really all about your mental capacity.
Right. And they couldn't have picked a more uglier, satanic looking bird to a raven. I mean, those scare the hell out of anybody, you know?
Well, the backstory to that is for Halloween, not this past, but the year before, we did characters, and I was, what's that Angelina Jolie character from the Disney movie?
Oh, yeah. She was like a...
What is it? Maleficent.
Yeah, Maleficent.
Right.
So part of the costume was a real crow, which a raven, actually, which my producers hadn't told me because they knew I would have, you know, run away. So I'm in this costume. I'm in character. All of a sudden, they bring out this raven, and I start to panic. And I was literally running away from them. I was running around the studio, live TV, like freaking out. And so that's what brought about the whole idea a year later to do the hypnosis and to have a raven again to test and see if it had worked. That's why they did that.
Well, in any case, I tell you what, it seems like everyone's having a great time and so forth. And you know what? You were born in Armenia in, 1982, was it?
Yes, 1982, born in Gyumri. Well, at the time it was Leninagon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of tragedy. You know, I don't even know if that town ever did recover from that big earthquake. And you have visited back in Armenia, right? In 2006, you went back there?
Yeah, that was the last time I was there. I've been back several times. The last time I was there was in 2006. And, you know, just speaking from that year, I don't know what has happened since then. It almost looks like certain parts of town were hit by the earthquake like the other day versus 20-something years ago, because it still hasn't, they still haven't really recovered. The infrastructure is still very much just in peril. So it's pretty haunting to walk up and down the street and to see buildings crumbled, and, you know, you see a curtain blowing in the wind or a painting on the wall still kind of hanging. it's very haunting. You think as though the earthquake has just hit and it's been so many years. Yerevan, the capital, you know, it wasn't hit as badly as Gyumri was or Spitak was. So Yerevan is doing well, especially the center of town. They call it like Paris, you know. It's very beautiful, cafes and boutiques and restaurants. But Gyumri, which was hit pretty badly, it's still kind of in shambles.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that. And we were in the States, and I remember just raising money and clothes, whatever we could send. We were sending from here over there, and unfortunately, we were getting information that a lot of this stuff wasn't even getting to the place that it was supposed to get to, and it was, I don't know, I don't want to get into that, but it was a very unfortunate time, and you were part of that. And so when did you folks, mom, dad, say, you know what, let's go to Yerevan, and then from Yerevan, let's go to our, America or something like that? How did that ever come about?
Well, we always lived in Gyumri, so we didn't move to Yerevan to move here. But my great uncle, my mom's side, my grandfather's brother had ended up in America after World War II as like a prisoner of war, and he like never went back to Armenia because at the time it was under Soviet control. And if you had been captured as a soldier and you went back, you would still be considered a traitor, even though it's not your fault you were captured. So he ends up in America and never goes back to Armenia, lives his rest of his life here in America. And he becomes very successful and, you know, all gets in contact with the family years and years later. And so my grandfather and their other brother end up all coming to America, all of us together, aunts, uncles, cousins, in 1990, 1991. He arranged for us to all just leave everything behind and move here. And he provided everything for us in the beginning and just kind of paved the way and set the foundation for us. And so really all my life, I say this and I really mean it, everything that has happened to me and even currently where I work and where I am in life, it all goes back to him because he provided the opportunity for strangers. He didn't know us. I mean, he didn't know my mom or my uncle or my cousins or me, but he did that out of the goodness of his heart. He always said, he passed away a couple years ago, but he always said it was his duty. But I don't know many people who would take such a big undertaking and bring like 20 people to a new country and, set them up to succeed. So,
no, God bless them. And that's just pure love right there. And, he could say duty, but you know, that was definitely love from the heart there. You went to Syracuse University.
Yes, I did. And ask me why,
yeah, go ahead.
I won't have an answer. So everyone says, how did you end up in Syracuse, New York, when you grew up in sunny California? I have no idea. I just decided to go and visit a bunch of schools on the East Coast because I was fascinated by the East Coast. I always envisioned myself going to college. And Syracuse happened to be one of the schools I went to visit, and it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Everyone was out. The campus is beautiful. And I'm like, what a great place. Everyone seemed so happy. Little did I know, it's because they hadn't seen the sun for like months and months because of the horrible winters. And so the day I go there, everyone's outside and it's gorgeous. And, you know, they end up giving me a grant, and I said, all right, you know, I'm going to go here. I go there, and I realize I don't like it. I'm suffering through these terrible winters, but I never, you know, I do things 100%. So I figured while I'm here, I might as well major in broadcast journalism because the Newhouse School is one of the best
in
the country.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I picked up the broadcasting degree from there. I didn't even go there with the intent of it. It's just kind of funny how life works out.
Now, I read a little bit about you, too, and a lot of people that have worked with you say that, you know what, you give 110% out there. When you're supposed to be working 8 hours, you're putting in 12 hours, and is that the Armenian thing in you? That
I think it's, I don't know if it's an Armenian thing. I think it's definitely coming from my family. My grandfather, he's 87, and he's a prime example. Every day he goes to work, he wakes up at 7 in the morning, and goes to work every single day, 7 days a week. So the work ethic is something that has been built within me and my family, and I don't know any other way of doing things. Right. I either give it my all or I don't do it. There's no in between. And so I don't know how that's going to work out for me because, you know, I'm expecting my first child this summer. And,
Beautiful.
I'm, you know, on the go constantly doing 100 things at the same time. And I know my life is about to change. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, so we'll see.
No, you'll pull it off. You'll pull it off. So you're having a girl.
I am having a girl, yes.
Beautiful.
So I'm looking for good Armenian names.
Well, you know, I came up with this. The thing about me was I'm sitting in the car. We're arguing with names with the wife. She's coming up with Armenian names. I'm coming up with Lebanese Armenian names. And mine sound real goofy and hers sound really Armenian names. And then Enya, the singer Enya, came on in the car as I'm listening. And uh-huh. I go, let's name our kid Enya. Enya, and and we rolled with Enya, so that's because
that's a nice name.
It's a beautiful name, and then looking at the pictures too of Enya, she's a beautiful singer too. I mean, she didn't look like she had earrings coming out of her nose or anything. I said, you know what, we're rolling with Enya. So that's
not a bad role model.
yeah, a beautiful voice too. Speaking of little kids, now we have kids listening to our show and so forth. What do you say to them out there that want to do what you're doing? And what do you got for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a while to figure out what it is you want to do in life and what your passion is. It certainly took me a while. I thought I was, you know, going to be a doctor and go into the medical field, then go into politics. And I didn't even, like I said, I kind of stumbled into this business. It's just kind of ironic. I went to college the day I'm graduating with a broadcast degree. I'm thinking, do I really want to do this? I don't even know if I want this. But like I said, once, you know, I commit to something, I commit to it 100%. And really, your hard work is what is going to take you there. Sure, it's about timing, and sometimes it's about people you know. It does play a factor. But for me, it really was about working hard and just the timing of life. I went into this business not knowing anyone. Like, I moved to Idaho Falls and was there by myself for over 2 years and suffered through grueling winters. And as a field reporter, I'm out there covered in snow and ice, shooting my own video, editing my own stories, anchoring and producing a show all in one day. But as much as sometimes I wanted to give up and to say, you know what, I'm just going to go home. Why am I suffering through this and putting myself through this torture? I always had this vision of, no, it's going to be worth it.
You're
going to
make
just
it.
Temporary.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Wow, bravo that you never gave up and you did all that by yourself too.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I always joke now with my mother. I say, you know, I'm having a girl, and as much as I admire these characteristics of having a strong will and independence and confidence and just being determined, a part of me is scared because I'm just such, you know, a go-getter, which is a good thing, but I don't want my daughter to leave and go to random places, and I'm already thinking of all of these things, you know?
Yeah. Hey, how about last when you did the news and so forth last year, April 24th, seeing all the people walking in the streets and so forth. Was that a lot of pride in you when you were doing that in the news and so forth, just covering that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it was an incredible experience for me that this time around, and it was a 100-year anniversary, because I was on a show, Good Day LA, where I had a platform where I could actually talk about the Armenian genocide and bring it to light and to the attention of people. It really helped spread the message. I had so many emails and messages on social media from viewers who had never even heard of the Armenian genocide, and it was their first time listening to me talk about it on television. So it was this great sense of accomplishment I felt, and as my duty almost to, you know, speak of it and to tell the story. It was overwhelming, the response I got. And I'm not just talking about the Armenian community here in Glendale, which is huge. I'm talking about just the everyday viewer who, like I said, didn't even know what the Armenian Genocide was. So I think that with my job, I take it very seriously, and I know I'm fortunate enough to have a platform where I can bring issues like the genocide to light. It was a big year, and I was so proud to have played such a big role in the community here.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And on the other end of that, on the other end of that spectrum, it's got to upset you too as well when you see all the negative stuff that happens on the news with the Armenians in that area as well. I mean, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that that's our people on that as well.
Are you talking about just like everyday stuff?
Everyday stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you're doing a crime story and an Armenian name comes up, I have to admit I'm embarrassed deep down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh great, like why? I'm like,
yeah,
please don't let it be one of my people. And
yeah,
then,
I know.
You know, and then like a mugshot comes up and I'm like, all right. And people are asking me, Roxy, how do you pronounce this last name? Can you tell us so we can say it correctly on air? And I'm like, great. That's what you need help pronouncing? The last name of someone who committed some kind of crime. It's unfortunate, but like, what can I do? I'm always just happy if I don't have to read those stories.
Right.
I give it to someone else.
Yeah. It's, it's you know, it's unfortunate too, because we have such a big population there. It's bound that everyone's got bad apples too, but that can't overlook all the good stuff that the Armenian population's doing out there as well. Are you guys excited this year about the election that it's going to be happening around that area, to where Armenian voters are going to be out and so forth? I mean, we got to play a role in LA this time, huh?
For the presidential election?
Yeah. Well, for the primary, for Democrat, or all this stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year. I think this year, this time around with the cycle, it's just so different from any other election cycle because of just the people are running, the amount of people who are running. Candidates are dropping out now, obviously, but just Donald Trump has really changed how the elections happen. I can't remember ever having so many people interested in these primary debates so many months out, right? But they're tuning in because it's entertaining and it's just so unexpected, and it's not it's not the typical political process.
Right.
It's so different that it's sparking interest among people. We still have so many months left. There's still quite a bit of time before November, and we've been talking about elections much earlier on than we otherwise would have. But it's fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's definitely something I haven't seen happen before. And I think just nowadays with social media and just what a big part it plays, and younger voters, they get excited at first, I think, when the process begins. But there's a difference between getting excited, volunteering with a campaign, and then actually showing up to the polls. Sometimes that's where the younger crowd falls short.
I would have to speculate in the industry that you're in. It has to be, you know, with this specific election cycle, it has to be interesting to look at the shift in audience of who you know is engaged on the broadcast of the early on debates and the primaries in the past, you know, compared to what we're seeing now, the big shift in who's watching and who's involved. You know, that has to be, you know, in your industry specifically, you know, a really interesting area to watch, especially in LA.
Yeah, definitely, especially in LA. You know, I'm curious to see specifically, you know, in the Armenian community, what the feedback will be.
Yeah.
I think that for many of the Armenians, sometimes it comes down to, will you, for us, get the Armenian genocide recognized, right? That's always been like the number one priority for us. And, you know, you always have candidates who make promises, and then at the end of it, they can't deliver. And it's not pointing fingers or anything. I know it's a process, and there's just a lot of politics involved, but that's the number one issue for us in the Armenian community, right? I mean, it just depends what community you're focused on. Everyone has a different
important issue that they're after.
Doesn't it seem like they all say the same thing to us, and every time, after a while, we just bite on it, bite that bait, and then, you know what? They forgot about us again. I hope this time around, I'm kind of looking at Bernie and Trump. You got outsiders now that, you know, maybe these guys are a little bit different than what we've dealt with in the past. As an Armenian, maybe we may see something different. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I just think that it's so early on. It is early and it isn't early, but, you know, sometimes you just get these vague statements that are made that there's not much substance to back it up. Mm-hmm. So that's with any election, though. I don't know, you know, the choices are becoming limited. And what I hear from people is that, is this really all we've got? Like, this is the best we've got?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is who's running for office. It seems like people aren't super pleased, but they're just going to end up backing someone just because they're going to have to back someone. But it always comes down to this. Would you rather have someone vote just because they should vote and it's their civic duty, even though they're an educated voter? Or do you want someone who really knows their stuff to go out there and vote?
I agree.
Don't just want to encourage voting just to vote.
Yeah.
Right? I'd rather someone who doesn't know enough not vote.
No, I agree with you. I've always said that, too. I just can't believe that people, well, you know what, it's our right to vote. Yeah, but you know what, between the, if you got two village idiots in there, I'm not going to vote for either one of those. So, yeah, I agree with you. Hey, to our listeners out there, well, you know what? Sorry, you know, just in case you missed it, she is married, and you don't have to do any dumbbell curls or anything to impress her. You guys are expecting, and when are you expecting your child now?
Allegedly, I say June 9th.
June 9th.
That's exciting.
June 9th. That'll be very cool. Is there anything out there that... you know what? When my wife was pregnant, she'd send me out like she'd crave nachos from Taco Bell. I don't know what was the deal with that, but is there anything you're starting to crave?
No, everyone asks me that. I haven't really had any cravings. I have a huge sweet tooth, and I was hoping it would maybe go away, but it has rather intensified.
Yeah,
so
good luck.
I'm trying to control my ice cream habits. I could eat ice cream all day long, and that's not a good thing.
You are in great shape.
To keep ice cream away from me.
Well, you're in great shape.
Stay in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason. You don't just, you know, you have to work towards that too.
I love that one when you were doing the weather, and on the background, suddenly you're in the ocean.
Oh yeah.
That was hilarious. That I mean, they dropped the green screen as the ocean in the background.
Yeah, it looks like you're just standing out somewhere about 100 miles off the coast of Hawaii. It was pretty interesting. I was saying to Jono, actually, you know, as we were sitting around discussing the idea, you know, of having you on the show, and I said, you know, I saw a handful of the spots that you filled in for the weather person. I said, yeah, I would love to ask her, you know, from her insight, if like the person who handles the weather on your show, if that has to be the most monotonous job in the entire world, because it's like every day, well, it's going to be 80 and sunny, and you know, tomorrow 80 and sunny again, and the next day 80 and sunny.
It's pretty easy though, I gotta say. I mean, 80 and sunny.
You know what? Let me tell you something. It looks easy, and especially when not much weather is happening, but doing the weather, it really isn't as easy as you think. First of all, the first time I ever did it, and I'm not a weather person, so it's funny, like, they have me fill in, and it's kind of fun and everything, but I don't have, like, a degree, and I am not a meteorologist, but the first time I did it, standing there, I felt so vulnerable, and I felt naked. I didn't know, my entire body was showing, and I didn't know where to place my hands and how to stand and how not to look awkward and how to move. And the green screen, you know, as you know, it's a green screen. There are no actual numbers on that screen. So it takes a while to kind of get into the groove of it. And in LA, it's not just about the weather, just the weather itself. A weather person is really someone who brings a little energy and a personality to the show.
Well, yeah,
of course.
It's not
just about reading the numbers off the screen. So I don't know. I think whether people have a good time here.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah,
you're right. We're lucky. We barely have anything to complain about.
Yeah. You guys don't have tornadoes or anything like we do.
And the more, the more actually the interesting part of it, I would imagine, and, the years that I lived in L.A., we were, were always concerned with the, the mudslides and the fires. And it seemed like the weather anchors always had, a pretty strong part of the job of reporting on that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think when we're supposed to have El Nino, and it's sort of calm, sort of in taking a nap right now. Supposedly it'll get more intense in March, but they're definitely excited about that because it'll be something where they can show and talk and just really hone their skills in. But yes, you have the fire danger here, always up an issue. You have the mudslides, which causes a great deal of damage. So when we get it bad. But most of the time, we don't get much.
Hey, did you, going back to news again, did you interview my man Chris Chambers? He did the Aram Aram.
Yes, I did. I did. I interviewed him, and then I also went to the premiere of the movie.
How great is that? That's beautiful. He was on our show, and we tried to do as much as we can for Aram Aram, and it was great that I seen that you did interview him, so that was really cool on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was a really nice guy, and I was just so pleased he had done the movie, and he put so much effort into getting it right. I was really impressed with it. I was really just like so happy to support him in that. I think
that's
we need
great.
More movies like that, just about life.
You know what's cool about that, though, Araxia, is that I love when other people besides Armenians do our stuff, because that really shows me that, there's other people that do care about what we are about and what we're doing too, and so forth. I kind of look at that a little extra love on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it legitimizes things more, doesn't it? It's not just, of course, as an Armenian, you're going to support Armenian things. Like, that's a given. It's like your second nature. But when you have outsiders coming in and embracing your culture, wanting to learn about it, investing time and projects into it, it really is a good feeling. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, all right, Araxia, that was a great interview, and glad to have you on. So we're just waiting for the little baby to come out, and then afterwards, you got any projects that you're going to be working on? Any movies maybe down the line too for you?
Any what movies?
Yes, anything like that.
That's funny. no movies. I do a lot of events. I MC and host a lot of events, not just for the Armenians. I actually have one coming up this Saturday for the Armenian school, Metropian School in Montebello. It's their 50th anniversary, and it's been a big highlight in the Armenian community here. So I'm emceeing that gala, but I do a lot of events for the Armenians as well as just
Bravo.
Human sex trafficking or just big issues. But I think once summer comes around, I'm going to have to cut back a little bit because it really is very time consuming.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's just, but I look at my job as a responsibility, and I never take it for granted. And every day I wake up at 3:45 in the morning, I'm actually really excited to go to work.
Yeah.
And that says everything, I think.
Well, you remember the person that called it a duty and took care of you, and that's what pumps you up and gets you up and gets you motivated. Araxia Karapetyan, how beautiful it was to have you on our show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. So nice to talk to you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
What a great interview that was, Chris.
Yeah, that was
amazingly, yeah. Everyone that I have on my show, I'm feeling comfortable with them. They're feeling comfortable on the show too. It's been great. It's been great. And guys, to keep the lights on here, you got to go to our site at armeniaproud.com. And if you're going to purchase something, go purchase something at Amazon. And it's on our page.
It is.
It's
really
a right click away, isn't it?
It
it's
is.
A little box right there on your right-hand side, Amazon. A lot of you out there do a lot of shopping at Amazon. I know. I'm married to one that shops every day on Amazon. And now I said,
how can he not?
Yeah, and I said, you know what? If you're going to shop there, you might as well come on board to ArmeniaProud.com and shop from our site.
Absolutely.
It's a one simple click away. Once you click on Amazon from our page, you're right there. You won't see us again. We won't bother you again. Just shop away. Shop away, my friends.
Hey, this is Darren Pang, alongside my partner Kelly Chase here on Chasing Pucks with Panger. This is our NHL podcast, and it's on NHLpodcast.com, and it's damn good. It's really good. So you got to listen up. Make sure you download us. Make sure you figure it out. Anything you want to know about the NHL, stories, we got lots of stories. Chaser, do we have lots of stories?
We got stories, folks. Title in, you're going to love it. Buckle up.
Let's get it on with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock.
John, what are your thoughts on the old show Bully Beat Down? John, you were part of that. It was on MTV. And were the fights sanctioned by a commission?
I loved Bully Beat Down because the bullies had no idea who the fighter was that they were going to compete against until they had them walk out and they went in that cage and then they announced the fighter. And it was hysterical.
To find out more, go to letsgetitonpodcast.com or find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Let's get it on with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, only on the Lineup Media Group.
Hey friends, it's Nick Drago here. I'm the host of the Nick of Time podcast. That's the show where we indulge conspiracy theories, underreported news, media manipulation, political assassinations, government propaganda, false flags. We discuss the Illuminati and the military-industrial complex, UFOs, aliens, mind control. We throw away the official story here and re-examine things from a different perspective. Nick of Time is also the place where we take an open-minded look at all things paranormal and cult-related. So if you like ghost stories and stories about bizarre cults and strange religions, check us out. It's a big, crazy world out there. Log on to nickoftimepodcast.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. If you have a comment, question, or suggestion, again, nickoftimepodcast.com.
Hi, Ani. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Nice. Wonderful here. Hey, Ani, what do you got for us for this week in big energy feeling? I'm going out to L.A.
Yes.
I'm going out to L.A. to watch some soccer with Ara nice. Taking on Cosmos. Give me some energy. What should I look for?
Yeah. Go to the beach. It's so cleansing being
Thank
by the
you.
Ocean.
If I went to the beach, there'll be a helicopter surrounding me. They'll be wetting me down. They'll be trying to throw me back in the water. And you got Greenpeace holding hands. Yeah, I don't need all that. All right.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, LA is cool. I mean, there's plenty of sunshine. Just
Should I look for rocks?
Good vitamin D. Yeah.
Nice exotic
Well,
rock.
This week, I wanted to talk about, actually, it's pretty trendy in LA too, so it's cool that you're going. I wanted to talk about the daily diet of individuals, and I'm not talking about just food. So your diet consists of everything that you're absorbing around you, right? That you're like a sponge. And I want to start with the home. So when you're cleaning the house, most of the cleaning supplies and products and stuff are very high in toxics and chemicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to be aware of what you're using because you're inhaling these toxins. It's around children, pets, and it becomes in the air and you're basically breathing these chemicals and it's not so great. So what I want to talk about is a really nice DIY cleaner that I use, that I make myself. It's much cheaper in the long run and it's environmentally safe for my home.
And what's this do?
Yeah, so it cleans everything pretty much, except for glass, you could just use good old fashioned newspaper to clean glass. You don't really need anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Windex.
But this cleaner is full of white vinegar, lavender oil, lemon peel, and a little bit of vodka, or like I use Tutti Ori actually.
Ori.
Chris, it's a disinfectant.
Can you say Ori?
Ori.
Oh, damn it. He said it again. He said it good. All right. So we add a little Ori.
It's a disinfectant and it's, yeah, you don't need like so much bleach or what other stuff they use to pretty much make drugs. So this is all natural. It smells great. You can make it. It's safe for the kids and it's good for the air, basically.
You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. So this works as everything besides the glass cleaner.
Yeah. I mean, the lavender oil is also disinfectant and it has a calming kind of properties. And the lemon peel is also disinfectant and it smells nice as well. So you can't really go wrong. Yeah.
There was no way I was able to get the Windex out of my wife's hand anyway for a glass cleaner. So this is good for it. It's everything besides
like
the glass cleaner.
It's like my big fat Greek wedding, huh?
Oh,
we put Windex on everything.
That is my wife. That is my wife. Kid gets a cut, you spray the Windex on there, whatever it is. So,
yeah,
in any
and
case.
Another thing I really, really encourage to have in the home are salt lamps, actually. They become very popular. And if someone is really busy and they can't buy one or afford one, and they're pretty cheap, actually, you could just basically take a jar, recycled, and fill it up with Himalayan salt or organic sea salt and stick a candle in there. And it purifies the air. It helps people with insomnia. It's very calming. And it actually helps get rid of dust and people that have allergy and asthma. It's really good for them. It improves their breathing. Absolutely. And it increases your energy level.
Nice.
Yeah. So salt is a really good cleanser
so
in
that
way as well.
How do you use that though? I mean,
Himalayan sea salt? Is that what you like?
Himalayan.
Yeah, they have these Himalayan salt lamps.
I don't have one of the lamps, but I have. That's all we use in our house.
Is that like you just put it together or what?
Yeah, no. It's just like you use it on your use it in everything. Use it in your food. But yeah, but it's from the Himalayas. You know, it's pink. It's supposed to have a lot of extra.
Where can we find
extra
that?
Nutrients? Whole Foods, anywhere.
No
like
kidding.
That,
The artsy fartsy places.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And like I said, you can create a similar effect with candles and salt in the jar. So it's very nice. So, and I just want people to kind of realize what they're using in their home and how they're actually absorbing everything they're using. So there's so many wonderful DIY kind of things that you can make. And the internet's really great nowadays for creating your own cleaning supplies for pretty much anything.
Beautiful. So if you're getting ready for spring cleanup, which everyone should be, we've got some helpful hints here from Ani, Energy Healing Armenia. And how's that site coming along, Ani? A lot more hits?
It's going great. I actually, I wasn't anticipating it, but you saw my video about Trendez, where couples jump over fire.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, it was really great. And I posted a short video and it actually—
I think me and Chris are going to try that.
Yeah.
We're going to jump over some fire.
Yeah, it's actually in the plans for next week.
It's for engaged couples. Mm. So.
Even better.
How about them Bears?
That was
a great season.
Yeah,
snake
football.
If you're not an engaged couple, you're a normal person, you can still go and light a candle out of that fire and keep, good thoughts in your prayers. But it actually got over 62,000 views, that video. So I was really kind of wowed by that.
That's
and it makes me feel good that people are so fascinated with our old traditions.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Did you take the video?
I did.
Oh,
just off
God.
Of my iPhone. Yeah.
God, we got to put a Toast Armenia on the side of that or something, or Energy Healing with Armenia Proud, 62,000 hits.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Chris, we gotta find something like that.
Yeah, we need to talk.
Chris, will you jump out of a plane with a parachute or something?
I would do that if
and
it would
hold
help.
A sign that says Armenia Proud.
I would do that if it would help. That's like the guy who ran out at the World Cup naked with the sign of his YouTube channel.
Will you do that?
He's massive.
Will you do that, Chris?
Yeah. I will do it.
Oh,
I will sign up
you.
For that right now.
All right. I love the guy. I'm surprised he's not telling me to do that for the New York Cosmo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, while you're in LA, you should fly over Glendale in a blimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be great. All right. Well, Ani, it's been great having you. And so you guys are having a party over there?
Yeah, a little housewarming party.
Ah,
and then
beautiful.
I'm going to TVZ in the morning, so I'm leaving again.
Is Victoria there?
Victoria's not here. She's,
that's our buddy.
Super busy now that spring is coming. You know, it's kind of, they're getting ready for high season.
Yeah, she was so cool on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, that was Ani with Energy Healing, and we'll talk to her next week. Take care, Ani.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
My friends, also, let's not forget about audibletrial.com/Armenia. You go to this site here. How about this, Chris? Every time that we're in the car, tired of music all the time, I got 50-minute drive. How about a little story?
Absolutely.
A book? Audible book. You can't beat it. And at audibletrial.com/Armenia, you can choose over 180,000 Audible books to choose from. How about that?
I love it.
You can't beat that. And just go to our site again at armeniaproud.com, and you'll see the audibletrial.com there as well. It's a little box just above the Amazon, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Simple as that, my friends. Go there, click on it, and enjoy some beautiful books you can hear instead of read. Don't be lazy, though. You want to read sometime. Hey, Chris, you know what time it is now, don't you?
It's food time.
Yes, Cooking with My Armenian Family. You can find her site on Facebook. And Mariam, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I'm a little excited to come out to L.A. How's the weather out there?
It's perfect.
Is it perfect?
Perfect weather. Yes, sunny and nice.
Beautiful, beautiful. I was hoping for some chance there was not going to be rain. Like when we were talking to Aroxia, she said that it was raining a couple days ago. So
it was, but you're in luck because I believe it's going to be really hot this weekend.
Oh, really?
So you guys are good. Yeah, you can't even hit the beach.
I just had a segment about the beach. Anyway, all right. So what do you got for us this week, Mariam?
Well, we talked about this last time. You mentioned something called Semsec.
Semsec.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Semsec. I'm sorry. Yeah, Semsec. That's how it's pronounced. It is actually, am I echoing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
It is actually not an Armenian word. You're not going to like this. But I'm just going to let you know that, you know, how we Armenians have been influenced by Turkish culture and Russian culture, Middle Eastern. So we have a lot of words that are not Armenian. But It could be Armenian that was making this, and it's called Semsec. And it's actually translated. It means sunburst.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and it's very simple to make, and I'm going to try it myself. To be honest with you, I've never tried this, but it looks very delicious, and it is very simple to make. You need like 3 cups of flour, 2 tablespoons of yogurt.
3 cups of flour, 2 yogurt. Go ahead.
2 tablespoons vegetable oil or maybe any other oil. 1.5 teaspoons salt. And that's about it for the dough.
Uh-huh.
So you just knead the dough, you let it rest, and then you cut it in little balls, and then you kind of make it flat, or you can probably make the whole thing flat, and you can cut it with the biscuit cutter. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
And then what you do is then for the filling, you can either make this cheese, like you mentioned. You can do beef or you can do spinach.
Wow.
Yeah, and the
Yeah, beef.
Yeah, forget the spinach.
So the beef is very easy to make, too. It's basically ground beef or lamb. Apparently, it's made with lamb traditionally, but you can make it with beef. It's a ground beef, and then you pan fry it with little salt, pepper, and onion. You can add any herbs you want.
Maldanos, too. I remember Maldanos.
What's the Maldanos?
Maldanos is parsley. Not
oh,
parsley.
Okay.
Is it parsley? Maldanos? Which
I
one's
don't know.
A Maldanos? I can't believe you
no
don't
idea.
Know what Maldanos is. All these years I've been saying Maldanos with my family. Jesus.
So I don't know which one. It could be there's a cilantro or parsley, but I'm thinking it's probably parsley.
Parsley,
cilantro,
yes, it's parsley. It's parsley.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, 100% is parsley.
Okay, so that's what you put there for the meat. And for the cheese, you can have like feta cheese. You can add other cheeses in there. And to combining as a combining agent, you can just crack an egg or two there. And then you can just put some salt. And if you need salt, you can put pepper or any type of herbs that you like dried. I know a lot of people use thyme or oregano. For some reason, some mm-hmm. people do that. And so that's basically what the recipe is. And it's very simple. And then you actually deep fry these.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it is so good, Chris. And it just kind of like blows up. It's kind of like a dumpling that's being fried.
Dumpling, or I was thinking empanadas. It's very similar
to that. Yeah, it's delicious, and Mom used to have all the lemons sliced ready to go. You just put some lemons on top of that too.
Sounds excellent.
Chris, we gotta get a bite to eat
time
after
to go.
This. Yeah, that's
so
delicious.
I was thinking to make it and maybe make a video of it, maybe post it because it sounds very simple to make, and it's very simple actually. The demonstration too. It's just you fold it over. It looks like a half moon shape, like you mentioned last time, mm-hmm. and that's about it. And then you dip fry.
Okay. One question though: the dough. How thin do we have to get this dough whenever we've got this biscuit cutter or whatever? Because I know that this is a very thin type of food as well. It's the dough is thin.
Actually, in the recipe, it mentions that it has to be, the balls have to be like walnut shape. I mean, not shape, I'm sorry, size. That's how little it's supposed to be. And then when you kind of roll it, then,
gotcha.
You know, it's probably going to be, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, so. That made sense right there. Perfect. All right. So this is called what now? It's not Samsek. Samsek, I think, is Lebanese. It's Mediterranean. It's Arabic. But what do we call it?
Well, it's the translation of it is sunburst. I don't, maybe you can call that, but the samsek, it's translated from Turkish.
Turkish?
Sunburst, that's what it is. Yes.
Are you kidding me? That's Arabic. Come on. Hey, Brian, cut that part there, will you?
Mm-hmm. I Googled it. I swear I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But that's the word. That's what it's translated to. And like I said, it could be an Armenian making this because they have so much influence, you know,
right.
from the culture.
Exactly.
And the language.
Exactly.
So that's what they called it.
They probably stole it from us. That's what
they
happened.
Probably did.
They stole it. Because
that's my vote.
I should have said it's a Samsakyan. That would make it Armenian.
Samsakyan.
Yes.
Okay, whatever that is. Okay, Mariam, well, I'll see. Are you going to the game?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah,
all right, well,
so much
try.
Going on the weekend. But you guys call me when you're in town, and we'll see if we can
okay.
get together.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
Definitely. Definitely. I'll give you a shot. All right, Mariam. That's Mariam, and you can find her book on Cooking with My Armenian Family on her website, on her Facebook page. Cooking with My Armenian Family. Can't go wrong with it, my friends. And Mariam's always coming up with some great cooking food stuff
yummy.
Out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yummy.
And they
stuff.
Can also do that on Amazon, and they can go to your site.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Banner.
What a plug. What a plug we just got. So go to our site and then click on Amazon at armeniaproud.com, and you could find Amazon, and you could find Cooking with My Armenian Family on Amazon. You can't beat it, my friends. Thank you. Thank you, Mariam, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys, and you have a great weekend and have fun, and hopefully I'll see you.
See ya. Another great show, Chris. Hey, I'm going to be out in L.A. I'd love to meet you guys if you're out there. If you're out there at Citrus College, Citrus Stadium, February 20th, FC Ararat taking on New York Cosmos. And I tell you what, we're giving out 1,300 shirts. Can you believe that, Chris?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I want
1,300 shirts. I'll bring you one.
I'll bring you one.
Don't worry about it. It's going to have the FC Ararat versus New York Cosmos on it. It's going to be beautiful. And this is for our fans out there. And it's going to have Armenia Proud on the back of it with our man that made the shirts. God bless him, Vartan. And, hey, folks, February 20th, you can't go wrong. From our crew here, Genatsad Hayer, Kisher Party. We will be back with you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of
Genatsad Hayer,
A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabenjian. You can find the show online at armeniaproud.com or download and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Plus, join the conversation on social media at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or at ArmeniaProud on Twitter. Get all of the Lineup Media Group shows at lineupmediagroup.com.